19 after the hour, morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Annunciation of the Lord. In a little while, we'll hear from the Gospel of Luke, and we find the Annunciation to Mary. There's the angel Gabriel saying to the Virgin, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt be called his name Jesus." What is your relationship with angels? Mary said yes to the angel Gabriel. What is your relationship with angels? Lisa Mladenik is going to look at that for us right now, a Catholic life coach, retreat leader, author, and host of a new podcast coming out this summer, in fact, in August 2019, Homeschooling Saints, sponsored by Homeschool Connections Online. Lisa, welcome back.
Good morning. It's so nice to be here on such a beautiful feast of Our Lady.
It is. It is. And it makes us think about how many times we have said yes or have had a blind ear, if you will let me use that term, to the Lord.
So true. The cultivating that attitude of fiat is, we see statues of Our Lady that make her look, appear to the person who doesn't understand the spiritual reality as kind of bland and yielded in kind of a subjugated way. Like, that's the misunderstanding. But what that is that's how she is so powerful, and that's how our lives can be so powerful, by yielding to God, working with him, understanding our dependence on him. And so her fiat was a fiat of great courage.
What is your relationship with your guardian angel?
Oh, I love my guardian angel. I talk to my angel a lot. I need all the help I can get. But I also recognize that our lives are spiritual battles, you know, and the love that God works through us, speaks through us in our lives, needs help because we're afraid, because we fall a lot. And our guardian angels are appointed to us, these pure and holy spiritual beings who are also mighty warriors. Walk with us from the moment of our birth until we enter heaven. And so I'm quite awed by that. Whenever I go out to speak, I always acknowledge verbally as well as internally the angels that fill the rooms where I go to speak, because they're with us faithfully bringing us together in order to learn about God and grow closer to each other as well.
With Lisa Mladenik, we're talking about our relationship with angels. Of course, Mary saying yes to the angel Gabriel on this solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord. And at 888-914-9149, what is your relationship with your guardian angel? 888-914-9149 on the Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance Studio line. What is your relationship with your guardian angel? 888-914-9149. And Lisa, what does that proper relationship with our guardian angel look like?
Well, it should be one of respect and honor. Our guardian angels are not our pets. There's kind of a practice that has popped up that the church has tried to discourage, which is kind of naming our guardian angels as if they're our buddies. But the thing is that in our sacred history of the church, naming is sacred. And the naming of the angels, because they belong to God, belongs to God as well. So we do know certain angels' names, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, and we can certainly use those names. Those are present to us in Scripture. But we should pray to our guardian angels every day. They can help us with everything. They can jog your memory on an exam. They can help you to find the courage to speak to someone. And we can use them as emissaries and sort of almost like diplomacy helpers. If you're having a conflict with someone, ask that your guardian angel and the guardian angel of the other person to help you to come together and to find that unity that we need.
Lisa, I think you're starting to answer my next question just a little bit there. I was going to ask, how much do angels help us physically versus internally, you know, in terms of, you know, things of the spirit and what we might need that we're thinking about versus, you know, keeping us out of a car accident and things like that?
Oh, my gosh. They've helped so many people. People have had extraordinary experiences of angels showing up. A person who, Mike Aquilina, was on our Refresh conference at Homeschool Connections last Friday, and on the 15th, and he was telling about a friend of his who literally was dragged out of an undertow. He was drowning and deposited on the beach by a big muscular man who laughed at him and then vanished. I had an experience myself where I was deep into grief. A few people close to me within a short span had died, and I nearly walked in front of a city bus, but someone pulled me back physically. And I looked around, and there was nobody around me, and the people who were on the sidewalk were not even looking at me. No one had even noticed that I nearly died. And so, you know, just there are just moments when the angels actually do physically intercede. And that always has to do with God's plan for us. You know, that doesn't mean nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. We all do experience suffering. But that holy angel is there for us 24/7, really powerfully interceding. But of course, going back to Mary's fiat, we have to cooperate too. We've got to fight to overcome our sins and fight to understand the will of God and to live it out. The angel's not going to drive the bus for us.
Well, look at the first reading from yesterday's Mass. There's Moses going about his day, tending to the flock. It's just another average day for Moses, and there's an angel in a burning bush.
Yes, exactly. You know what's funny about that is that I never realized that Scripture actually explicitly said an angel was speaking to him from the burning bush. I always just remembered that being as God's voice, because right after that, the voice of God says, Moses, remove your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. But Scripture explicitly says that an angel was speaking through the flames, and that gives us a clue to what angels are. Angels are messengers and servants of God. They belong to God. But they are also, the Catechism tells us, they are unique, individual, personal beings with intellect and will. They are completely free to accept or reject God themselves. But because they live outside of time, they all kind of collectively made that decision at the moment of their creation. And that's really what's really cool is that another thing that Mike Aquilina pointed out to us, refer back to the expert, is that in Genesis, when God separates the light from the dark, St. Augustine said that was a reference to the separation of the angels who were fallen from the angels who were faithful. And then again in Revelation 12, there's this whole description of the red dragon that appears and menaces the woman with child, which is, of course, Our Lady who has said yes. And his tail sweeps a third of the stars from the sky. Another reference to the angels falling, and then it explicitly says in Revelations, and the angels fell to earth, and they were not permitted in heaven, that after there was this battle, they're not permitted back in heaven. There was no place for them. And so stars and light are also referred to in Scripture as angels.
Lisa, maybe important, too, to identify what angels are not. All of us, when we pass away, don't become angels.
Correct. There's a lot of misunderstanding about that and kind of appropriation of angels. I've heard people often say, well, you know, my loved one who died now, he's an angel in heaven, and they'll tell their children these things. Angels and our human souls are very different. We're a unity of body and soul. And eventually, you know, those of us who have really accepted the mercy of God will be reunited with our glorified bodies. But we will not be angels. Angels are completely distinct. In fact, I was doing research years ago on angels, and I was reading some books written by angelologists, which is a real, angelology is a real science in the church. And one of them said that because angels are each completely individual and unique, but they're all pure spirits, each one is its own species. Think of the magnitude of that, that each spiritual being, each angel is completely unique, and God gave you to guard your precious soul, this unbelievably unique and unrepeatable angel for your unique and unrepeatable soul. It's just mind-boggling how precious we are to God and how infinitely creative he is.
Lisa, we only have about 90 seconds remaining, but the little red flag to fly here in our conversation about angels is the pop culture view of angels colliding with our faith.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there's this whole New Age thing about finding your spirit guide, which is extremely dangerous.
Right.
If we're just kind of willy-nilly calling on spirits and delving without saying explicitly, holy angel, holy guardian angel, and speak to you the guardian angel given to you by God. If you're just talking to angels willy-nilly or trying to become one, there's all this weird New Age stuff about becoming angels. There's a cultish thing.
Yeah.
That can lead you into spiritual danger because we are surrounded also by fallen angels who would love to masquerade as sweetness and light long enough to entrap your soul. So we really do have to pray to the holy guardian angel. that is appointed to us.
A very good point as we talk about our relationship with angels on the Solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord with Lisa Miladnik, a Catholic life coach and the host of a brand new podcast called Homeschooling Saints that will debut in August of this year. It's sponsored by Homeschool Connections Online. And Lisa is online at AmazingCatechists.com. Lisa, thank you. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll take you to the Archdiocese of St. Paul Minneapolis Men's Conference with headlines and highlights and Glenn's Story Corner as we continue on Morning Air on Relevant Radio.